This is James Corbett, and you're tuned into CorbettReport.com. It's the 4th of May 2010 here in Japan, but still the 3rd of May on the west coast of the USA, where I'm joined on the line by Michael Parenti, a man whose remarkable depth and breadth of work could hardly be encapsulated by any short biography. Suffice it to say, he received his PhD in political science from Yale in 1962, and has gone on since then to pen 22 books of political and cultural critique, including Power and the Powerless, The Sword and the Dollar, History and Its Mystery, and Democracy for the Few. His latest work, God and His Demons, has just been published by Prometheus Books. Michael Parenti, thank you very much for joining me today on the Corbett Report.
My pleasure, thank you.
Well, Dr. Parenti, I wanted to start off today by noting that you will be speaking at the Understanding Deep Politics Conference in Santa Cruz, California, on the weekend of May 14th to 16th, along with people like Barry Zwicker and Cynthia McKinney and Annie Michon, and of course, Peter Dale Scott. Why don't you tell people a little bit about that conference and what you might be speaking about there?
I can tell you best what I'll be speaking about. It will be about trying to understand American politics as a very rational, very directed process with very real goals. That is, the participants are in it not just to win election and to go through motions and to get into squabbles and get paid off by lobbyists, whatever. They have very real, real goals. One of those goals for the last 30 years, one of the goals of the Republican Party leadership, for instance, has been to roll back the social democracy. They even use terms like social democracy, a term which most Americans don't even know. Social democracy applies to the Western European countries that are capitalist countries, but they have large developed public sectors, and those public sectors have very, very good human services in countries like Sweden, Denmark, Norway, even France and Germany, and maybe to a lesser degree Spain. But and those human services, that expansion, that public sector, that socialistic part of the economy, was also growing in the 60s and from the New Deal day, and then in the 60s and 70s in the United States. With the advent of Ronald Reagan, and even a little before him, the last 2 years of the Jimmy Carter administration, there began the process of cutting back on social services. There became a process of massive deficit spending to defund social services. And there came a process of massive increase in military spending, which also is a way of defunding social services. You give the economy profitable contracts and stimulus packages, but it's all military stuff. And so you get rid of these troublesome things like disability insurance and old age retirement, you know, and federally funded nursing homes, or things that people need, you know, education funding, you cut back on that and so forth. So what I will be talking about is there are agendas that go on here that are really very, very real, and they really affect people's lives, and they are driven very, very decisively by political reactionaries of various sorts, and that is to pile up a debt, to cut human services, to defund the welfare state, so-called welfare state, to defund the social democracy. And if you say, now, that takes you into another stage, if you say these things happen, then someone comes along and says, but do you think they really are plotting and deliberately? Well, I have quotes showing that they do. You know, they say, yes, we've done it. We've accomplished this. No, you're paranoid. Here's the three words they use. You're paranoid, you're cynical, or you're ridden with conspiracy theory. You're suffering seriously from a case of conspiracy theory. And I try to point out that conspiracy is not only a theory. There are conspiracies and such. And then I'll get into the whole discussion of how to think about conspiracy and to understand that this government operates constantly in secrecy, constantly manipulating the news. Don't for a moment, James and everyone else, don't for a moment think they don't care what we think. That's all they care about. That's what they are constantly targeting and bombarding with their right-wing radio shockers and their Fox networks and their thousands of press releases that they send out every day and the tens of thousands of documents that they keep secret. If there's no manipulation, if there are no hidden agendas, why do they classify, I mean, literally tens of thousands of documents every day, you know? Why do they do that? So what's it all about? So those are some of the things I'll be touching on, and also on the nature of secrecy.
Very interesting. And obviously the term deep politics itself was coined as an alternative to that dreaded conspiracy theorist label. Do you think it's an effective semantic device for combating that label and making fun of the ridiculous anti-conspiracy theorizing that you talk about?
I think it's a nice term. I guess it was Peter Dale Scott who coined it. He named one of his books Deep Politics, and it was about the Kennedy assassination. I think it's a very nice term. Whether or not it will stop these people, I don't think so. I don't think that for... And then this raises the question, well, what the hell are we doing this all for if it's true? But I really sometimes don't think that most people are accessible to rational discourse, that evidence is really irrelevant, that they made up their mind, and like little parrots, they repeat these things, and that's the way it is. So it's pretty tough. But there are people in the middle, undecided, or even people in our own camp who need some development of their analysis of what's going on. And even ourselves, we have to keep ourselves sane and accurate, because there's so much disinformation and false commentaries going on again and again and again.
Well, that's a rather bleak view, but I fear that it's true. But for the listeners out there who are interested more in that specific topic, I often cite your take on the way the Washington Post editorialized the House Select Committee's conclusion that the JFK assassination was probably a conspiracy. And I think that was one of the most humorous and best responses to that kind of radical anti-conspiracy theorizing. So that's from the nature of the gangster state, and extremely, extremely interesting. But moving right along, I understand you also have a new book, God and His Demons, from Prometheus Books. Tell people about that book.
That book is a study of all the various aspects of theocratic abuse that exist both in the Bible, in the theology, and in the practice, both past and present, with concentration mostly on the present. And I look at ancient Judaism, I look at Christianity, I look at Islam and Buddhism, and look at the gurus and the televangelists and the megachurch corporatizers and the big money operators. And what you find when you study religion, James, you find you're writing about intolerance, hatred, violence, money. Let me say that one again. Money sexual predators of all different kinds, from priests to Baptist ministers to gurus and the like, and hypocrisy, preaching one thing on Sunday and doing other things from Monday to Saturday night, especially the family value guys and the like. And the dangers of theocracy, the threat of taking over the Air Force Academy has been taken over by Protestant fundamentalists, right-wing fundamentalists, whose goal, to quote one of them, Randall Terry, whose goal is not pluralism. He says, we don't want pluralism. We don't want, and by pluralism, I mean the right of all sorts of different groups to have diverse beliefs and practices and the like. He says, we don't want pluralism. We don't want equal time. Our goal is to conquer this nation and turn it into a Christian nation. I got his words right in the book. So he could raise that question we were just talking about. Am I a conspiracy theorist? Am I making up bugaboo things? Am I getting overly excited? I just quote these guys, and they are really quite something. FEMA and Homeland Security and all, they have clergy response teams. Clergy response teams are made up of mostly fundamentalist Protestant clergy who talk to their congregation and tell them that they have to obey the government. That is, it's a whole program to condition people to obey government programs. The anticipation is that there will be real emergencies coming up, that there'll be crises, there'll be ecological crises, there may be all sorts of displacements of large sectors of the population, there may be a need to crack down and corral people and put them in detention camps or whatever else. And they have clergy, and I have seen the footage. It was right on YouTube of a pastor talking to his congregation, who is a member of the clergy response teams, and saying, and the one passage they love in the Bible is Romans 13, of course, that's by St. Paul. And Romans 13 is that passage where he says, all authority comes from God. All authority on earth is authority, and all, since all authority comes from God, you must obey all earthly commanders, including the emperor and such. The emperor, who probably ended up killing Paul, as at least tradition has it. But and you have this pastor saying things like, there's too much emphasis on rights. Everybody's concerned about their rights. We have to learn to obey the government. Jesus submitted to his own death, his crucifixion. We must submit and obey government and obey authority, because authority comes from God. It's kind of remarkable, and the congregation was just sitting there, sort of listening and trying to make heads or tails out of it. I think. I mean, they weren't grimacing and wiggling. Audiences, you know, have a way of talking back. They weren't kind of exchanging glances. They were looking at him very intently. But on the other hand, they weren't nodding at all. I mean, this was news to them, it seems, and they were trying to understand it. So you do have these elements operating, and you have it all across the world. You have I go into all sorts of things. I talk about Tibet and what Shangri-La Tibet, old Tibet, was a feudal, horrible feudal society, which is not to romanticize the Chinese role being played, but they did abolish slavery, and they did abolish serfdom and usury and usury debts, and some people are living better. They could probably be living a lot better now, but at least they're living better than they did under the feudal system. So Buddhism is another religion I deal with. Yeah, that's the book, God and His Demons. Mostly my theme is I don't have any big fight with God. If you want to believe or not believe, you know, that's fine. It's his followers that really bother me. I quote Mark Twain there. He says, it's not the parts of the Bible I don't understand that bother me. It's the parts that I do.
Well, certainly it's a good distinction to make between God, whatever that may be, and his followers. But certainly Romans 13 is one of Hitler's, or was famously Hitler's famous favorite Bible passage for reasons which I don't think my listeners will have to parse for too long. But
really? Is that true? I didn't know that.
That is,
that's
in fact,
very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's not particularly surprising.
Did you mention it in Mein Kampf? I don't remember. I
don't remember where that piece of information comes from, but it's oft cited.
Well, I'm sure there were a lot of pastors, especially Protestant pastors, and even some Catholic ones, who were real explicit and vigorous boosters of the Nazi regime, and I'm sure they pulled out Romans 13 and pushed it. Yeah,
exactly. Well, I'm sure this is a particularly contentious topic in America, so I'm assuming you're getting even more pushback than usual from this work.
Oh, yeah, a very nasty and dishonest review, a couple of reviews, one on online New York Times and such, where they make misrepresentations about what my book is about. They call me an atheist, and I'm really not an atheist. I guess I'm agnostic. I don't even give much time to that. I feel the whole question of God is something that I can't honor it with belief or disbelief. I mean, I just don't, you know. There are people who talk about the cosmic forces of life, of the whole cosmos, of the universe, and they insist upon calling that God, you know, the spiritual God. They reject the personified God. But it's the personified God, it's the anthropomorphic God, the God of jealousy and anger and judgmentalism, the winner of wars, the providence, the one you pray to if you want more money or want more this or that. It's that God that I focus on, because that's the God that's, for the most part, operative in this society now. And I focus on them critically. But the critics... I don't mind if someone has a difference of opinion, that's fine. It's when they actually misrepresent what's in the book, you know. That's when you know they're gunning for you. But so it goes. That's the name of the game.
Well, Dr. Parenti,
I've also gotten a lot of wonderful letters and reviews by people who love the book and who talk about how it deals with so many grim subjects, and yet it's a pleasure to read, and they really enjoyed it and like the humor in it and all the other stuff. So that's my plug for my own book.
Excellent. Well, Dr. Freddy, if people are more interested in your works, where can they go to find out more information about you?
They can go to my website, which is simply Michael Parenti, one word. Parenti is spelled parent with an I at the end. MichaelParenti.org, with all the little W's in front of it, of course. And there it all lays out my speaking engagements, a lot of articles of mine that you can read, and the lists and summaries of the books and all that stuff.
And if they're interested in the Understanding Deep Politics conference, they can go to understandingdeeppolitics.org. And do you know which day you'll be speaking on?
I'm speaking on Saturday. Is when I give my talk, Saturday afternoon. I know.
Okay, so that will be May 15th.
I guess that's, yeah, whatever day Saturday is. And then on Sunday, I think I'm also on a panel on Sunday. Something else. Okay, well, thank you, James.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for taking the time to talk with me today.
My pleasure.